You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
We didn't do a Sunday lunch because we wanted, as a church family, that we're able to celebrate with our brothers and sisters on the other side of town. So if you're not doing anything next Saturday, come along. It's going to be an amazing time and also support for our brothers and sisters up in the north side in Church One. Amen? Last week, I began to talk to you about the availability of God, how available God is. It's really interesting because we have this kind of tendency to really look at God in the perspective that if I need Him, He has to be there for me. And in so many ways, there's a lot of truth in that because God is omnipresent, which means He's always present with us. Amen? Regardless of your situation. But sometimes when our situations aren't working out the way we want them to be, we somehow think that God is distant or that God has forgotten us. But the reality, the spiritual reality that we must never fail to understand is that our situation does not determine the distance by which God is with us. And, we pray for Trevor for the tragic situation and with mom going, but at the same time, she's gone to be with the Lord, And, bad things happen to so many people, to good people, And we just got to remain focused that the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. And our hearts are with you if you're going through some tough times. And particularly Anita, too, we want to just pray for Anita and the family. Young Robert, I've had the opportunity to spend some time with him and lead him to the Lord about a few months ago. And he's gone to be with the Lord this week. And so Anita is a great part of our family. And would you just reach out to her right now? I just want to pray for you, Anita. Just come out, would you? Is that okay? I want to stand with you. Amen. He was a very special boy, Robert, wasn't he? Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your touch and the blessing of salvation upon this home. And I pray that continually, Father God, that, Lord, the great memory of Robert's salvation, coming to know Jesus, Father God, will just remain with all of us. In the name of Jesus, over the family, I speak your comfort and your grace and your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. I love you. Amen. And last week, I shared with you how in Isaiah chapter 40, where it began to talk towards the end about they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. But earlier on in that same chapter, the prophet is asking, where is God? Over and over again. How far? How long will you be? It seems to be the reprise of the book of Psalms whenever David complained about the distance of God from him and what's going on. God doesn't seem to be around. And, but the reality is, God is aware of your situation. Somebody say aware. This is what I said last week. He is aware. He's not he hasn't turned a blind eye from you. He hasn't, close his ears to your prayers. God is completely aware. He knows where you live. Yes. All right? He knows where you live. And not only is God aware, God is able. God's ability is incredible. But what I really love about, above all, is that God is available. That God is always willing and ready. Amen. Some of you are probably wondering, what's wrong with his face? My wife said that the first time I met her. No, it's a joke. All right. I had an epic crash yesterday coming downhill on my mountain bike. I was going too fast. No, this one was good. This one's YouTube worthy. And I had Helmet, the owner of our building, was following me way back, and he said, "You just went too fast." And there's a particular line on this trail coming downhill, a very steep, rocky trail. And for some reason, my head just I just didn't stick to my line, and I tried to create a new one. And before I know it, the world stood still. I was flying in the air and face planted down the mountain. And I got up, and my head was buried in soil. And, you know, it's pretty cool. You know. So, but bless the Lord. It really hurt, by the way. My shoulders and ribs and bruises everywhere, but bless the Lord. I went back to the coffee shop with some of the cyclists there, and we're having a chat, and some of the ladies says, you know, what did you say? Did you say, oh my God? Because they knew I was a pastor. I said, yes, I did. And he said, yes, I am. God didn't mean to say that like that, Ted, you know. Bless the Lord. So we talk about the availability of God, but God's availability is not like some kind of genie that you can just rub the lamp and God is there to do your bidding. God is not a genie. Amen. Come on, are you there? That's not what God is. God is sovereign. He is marvelous. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, He is the creator of heaven and earth. That makes Him a little different to somebody that just goes by our bidding. God doesn't just do that. Although God is deeply concerned about your life because your life matters to Him. As I began to look at this, I kind of tried to think like, well, you know, if God's always available, what about our availability? You know, this year our goal is to, you know, our theme is breathe as a church. Not that we weren't breathing before, but I really do believe that God wants us to really take in what He has in store for us as a fellowship, as families. God wants us to take the whole thing in that He has for us. And in order for us to do that, we need to not only just be sensitive to the move of the Spirit, we need to be able to have the room for God to do what He needs to do. I find that most of the time when people seem to be burning out or people are burning out, whether it's in finances or whether it's in their family or whatever it might be, or in work, it's because there's just not enough room to breathe in their life. There's just not enough room. There's nothing wrong with being busy. There's nothing wrong with doing a lot of stuff, but you've got to have room to breathe. It's about making room. And I began to realize that the Word of God and the people that God used were people that were not really people who are able or people who seem to be qualified, but people who are available. Read it from Genesis to Revelation that God only chose people who were available, not necessarily ready. How many of you felt ready when you had your first child? No, you're not ready. You were never ready. When I got married, I felt I was ready before getting married, but then I realized that when I got married, I'm probably not as ready as I thought I was. Anybody been there? You begin to learn. You know what it is? Is that God is not looking for a ready-made Christian. He's not looking for you. He's not looking at you. He already knows the talents He's given you. He already knows your ability. He already knows your limits. He knows how far you can go. He knows all of those things about you. As if to say that, you know, we're gonna go to God and say, God, don't you know this about me? But God knows about that about you. In the same way that Moses went before the Lord and God said to Moses, I'm calling you to save my people. And Moses says, I can't even talk. But God knew he had the ability. God knew what he has placed in him. In the same way God knows what he has placed in you. In the book of Judges chapter 6, we find the story of Gideon, and where Gideon was inside of a wine press, and he was threshing wheat, and the angel appeared to him and called him, oh man, mighty man of valor, speaking into his destiny, and God chose him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. He was not a warrior, and yet God called him a warrior. One thing I know about the Lord, when you become available, you become somebody you never thought you could ever be. That's the one thing about God. When God called me to be a pastor, I never wanted to be a pastor. You know? When God told me to preach the gospel, I didn't want to be a preacher. I just wanted to just get on with life and find my career path. And it's set like most people would. The last thing I wanted to be was be, when people say to me, I don't ever want to be a pastor. I said, well, they're kind of famous last words of all pastors. Availability, folks, I believe is the greatest commodity that we have in God being able to use that us for his purpose. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 7. And I say this to you because, you know, if we make ourselves available for God to use us, he can do so many great things in our lives. This is a story of Elijah and the widow. One of the prophets in the school of prophets of Elisha, he died and left an incredibly huge debt to his family, to the point that this widow was about to sell her sons in order to pay, the people that she owed money to, or her husband owed money to. And so she went to Elisha and told him that her husband is dead. In verse 2, Elisha begins to speak to her. And so he said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Did you get that? You know, people who are available and people who are not have different language. The very call to discipleship that Jesus calls us to is the call for availability. In the book of Luke, I think around about chapter 9, a particular person shouted out to Jesus and says, "God, wherever you go, I will follow you." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head." In essence, Jesus is saying, you know what? You're going to come up with all kinds of excuses if you follow me. I'm not here for resources. I'm not here to resource your life. I'm here for you so that I can show you what the kingdom of God is all about. See, following Jesus is about giving up everything. Following Jesus is all or nothing. Are you there? Right? There's going to be a lot of people, there's a lot of crowd that followed Jesus, but only a handful of people were truly Jesus' disciples. They truly were the ones that were willing to give up everything. And so another person says, you know, Jesus said to the other person in the same chapter, it says, "You follow me." And the guy says, "But Lord, let me first bury my father." And Jesus, you know, turns to him, and it seems like a very rude answer. And Jesus said to him, you know, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you do the work of the kingdom." It seems harsh, doesn't it? But I think somewhere along the line, we've kind of reduced the demand and the responsibility that the gospel puts on us because life happens. We become too busy. We become too entrenched in our financial goals. Even family can be an excuse to do God's work. And I'm not advocating that you just disregard your family and do the work of God, but by no means should we ever excuse doing the work of God and using our family to not do what God's called us to do. Because I believe that as a family, we are meant to be working together for the kingdom of God. Amen? And I know there's certain things that happen in families that make that not always possible, but that is the ideal for a Christian family, to have your family serving Jesus. As I look at this, the response of Elisha was quite interesting. She saw the limitations of her life, and mostly what I find is that people who are unavailable will always have excuses why they can't do the job. There's always something going on. There's always something because they don't have the breathing space to actually serve the Lord. Now, I know many of you are busy. How many of you are quite busy with your work schedule during the week? Right? We're busy. Busy with family. Busy with kids. Right? Busy with whatever. Busy with your hobbies. What I find is this. Most people, if you took something out of their timetable, they'll find something else to fill that. I like to go mountain bike riding. Yes, I still do. I'm going to give it a break for maybe a week. But I love it. You know, it's always challenging for me. I like playing basketball, as you know that. I like having hobbies. And the thing is, because I'm so passionate about my hobbies, I always make time for the things I really love. Anybody here like that? I make time for them because I love doing those activities. And I was wondering, I was just seeking God about this. I said, Lord, why is it that so many of your people don't serve you as much as they serve their own hobbies? How come they don't do that? And I didn't really hear an answer from the Lord because he probably doesn't want me to judge anybody. But then I asked this question, Lord, maybe we love our hobbies more than we love you. We're willing to pay so much money into our clubs and our hobbies, but we find it hard to bring our offering in the house of God. We're willing to pay high price tickets to concerts, and we can't even give a little bit of gift regularly into the house of God, where the Word of God is preached that could potentially change your life forever. And souls are being won, lives being transformed in the house, people are being set free continually from, and marriages are being restored in this household of faith. You know, people's bodies are being healed. Did you know how many miracles we have every year? It's countless of miracles. I am always exposed to miracles and seeing people set free on a continual level. And I said, but Lord, why is it that we put so much resource on other things of the world instead of putting resource on what really matters to the kingdom and what will last for eternity? And I really do believe that Satan is in the mix somewhere along here. But I really do believe that our flesh is also in the mix. Amen? Are you doing okay? So okay, we're not going to do a second offering. But I will talk about giving. Pass me my rock. Have you got my rock? You know, this is, and I just kind of, can I just insert this? Because, you know, I kind of just remembered that. I've met a lot of rocks yesterday. I had a face-to-face encounter, in fact. This is a rock from a piece of land that I was really believing that potentially we could acquire as a church. As you know, as a church, there are days where just not enough seats here. And we want to keep growing because I believe that the growth of the church is really important in order for us to continually do what we need to do in the community. We need more people to get more resource so we can help more people. Does that make sense? Yes? Only three of you agree with that. Well, thank you for that. So I got this piece of rock, and I just began believing and praying. I guess at that time, we really didn't have the resources to acquire anything as a fellowship. But, you know, what's interesting is that whenever I talk to people about the vision of getting land and setting up a facility for our children and having a playground for our kids and our youth and having an auditorium, everybody gets really excited about that. And everybody would say, yes, Pastor, yes. And everybody tells me all the faith stuff. Faith. This is faith. We God's going to do it. God's going to do it. You know, I think this is great, isn't it? Right? Here's the testimony. God's already done it. We just got to get onto it. A pastor went one day to his in front of his church and said, God has already provided all the money that we need to buy the facility that he has given us. And the people rejoiced. I said, but there's only one problem, folks. I said, what's that, Pastor? It's still in your pockets. Anyway, make a long story short, what happened? We prayed, and you know, and I have this in my office, and I pray over it, and I touch this thing, and I'm believing. And the dilemma that we have is that every time something comes up that's a great deal, and we saw one about a year ago, further down the road, and it was just an amazing opportunity, but we just don't have even the deposit to do that. We have now raised about $100,000 as a church in our building fund. You know, and part of that is because we're setting money aside as a church. And some people have actually given towards that, which is wonderful. And thank you for that. But we need to do more in order for us to be able to get something. I just found out that the land that I was praying for and didn't have the ability to be able to acquire has been bought by another religion. There's a Sikh temple that's going to be built on that land instead. And some of you probably feel a little bit of indignance there. You know why would, you know why they're doing that? Because they had an offering and they gave. That really is the simplicity of it. If the people don't step up to the plate, we're going to be talking about this in 10 years' time. That's a reality. What am I saying about that? Because it's the availability of the people that opens the resources of heaven. When we become available, I'm not talking about my limitations any longer. I'm talking about being available for God to use me. For many people, they think time is a great availability for them, so they give that. For others, it's their strength. But if we have an attitude of availability, it's not just your time or your strength, it's everything about your life that becomes available to God. Come on, are you hearing me? Amen? And I really do believe this, and it's sad because it's not just our church. I'm not saying we're terrible, we're bad. If this is all that we have, fine, I'll meet under a tree if we have to. You know, that's not an issue for me. But I do believe that we have a generation. We have to leave a legacy to the next generation. Amen. And I want to see more Christian churches built in the Gold Coast rather than more mosques and Sikh temples. Do you believe that? I believe that. And it's going to take people of faith to do that. So this year, we're going to be talking a little bit about that and putting a strategy together how we as a church, you know, as a family, can do something together. Somebody say together. Amen? One of the things that God really spoke to me this year is that God is going to really bring wealth into people's lives. And I really do believe that. And, you know, because He wants to use you as a channel of blessing. And, you know, as a church, we want to be a blessing. So when Elisha, going back to Elisha in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, when he spoke to the woman, she said, "I have nothing but a jar of oil." A person who has availability issues always only sees what they haven't got. Availability and generosity is almost synonymous in gospel context. Did you notice that Jesus did not choose qualified priests or scholars as his disciples? Who did he choose? He chose a fisherman. He chose a tax collector. He chose a doctor, right? He chose pub brawlers, right? He chose people who were ordinary men. But what was the same, what was common with all of them, was neither their profession nor their ability. It was their availability. They were ready for God to send them into their call. Elisha addresses not her needs, which is interesting. Because when the widow said, "I have nothing in the house but a jar of oil," Elisha says, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few." What did Elisha just tell her? Make room for what is about to happen. Hallelujah. Elisha basically said to her, God is about to move, but if you don't have the room for what God is going to do, you're going to miss the move of God. In essence, it's saying we need available vessels. Yeah. Somebody say available vessels. Jesus, when he talked about the harvest, he never talked about the lack of harvest. He always talked about the lack of laborers. Because the reason Christianity is losing ground in the world is not because of the activity of Satan, but because of the inactivity of God's people. Are you hearing me? It's when we talk about faith and no works follow our faith. It's when we rejoice about what God's going to do and do nothing about what the Word of God commands us to do. See, nothing will happen in the church of Jesus Christ if God's people are not available for God to use them. And many of you know the story already. And she went and borrowed vessels from everywhere, from all her neighbors, empty vessels. And Elisha says, don't gather just a few. And after she's done this, Elisha told her to lock yourself in the house, shut the door behind you, and told her to pour the oil into the vessels. And you know the story? As she poured the oil, this little jar of oil that she had, and she had multitude of vessels, she just kept pouring and pouring and pouring. Come on, somebody. And pouring and pouring. You know how are we going to sustain the move of God? Your availability. Oh, come on, somebody. When we become available, when we're able to say yes to Jesus, we're going to see a move of the Spirit. She poured the oil, and all of a sudden, she said to her son, after she's been pouring so many jars, she goes, is there any more? Why is that? Because she realized that there's more where that came from. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. We are the ones that limit the move of the Spirit of God. God is ready. God is aware, God is able, and God is available. Come on, somebody. And He is willing to pour out His blessing in your life. But are we available? Are we ready? Just say yes. She said to her sons, is there any more jars? And the sons said these words, there are no more jars. There's not another vessel. When she said, bring me another vessel, the son said, there's no more vessels left. And the Bible said this, and the oil stopped pouring. Yeah. Yeah. You realize that the blessings of God in your life has really little to do with anything else but your availability and your openness and your willingness for God to use you. You got saved, that's wonderful. Now do something about it. God bless you with finances. I rejoice with you. Now do something about it. Do something about your finance that will last your lifetime. You got a bit of time in your hands? That's awesome. Do something, invest your time in the lives of other people that will last a lifetime and then will leave a legacy. Amen. Forget about getting any kind of titles or trophies. Just serve and give of yourself. Your life will never have the meaning it's supposed to have until you become available for the things of God. Rick, can you come up, please? And I'll finish this morning with one of Jesus' disciples, the loudest one of all. Luke chapter 5, if you get your Bibles with you, turn your Bibles there. I shared this morning because, you know, we're still kind of sort of unpacking vision this month. And I just want to say to so many of you that in order for us to really make a difference into our community, we have to be available for Jesus. God knows the needs of our community. He really does, more than we do. And we need to be available. As you know, we've got 3 major community initiatives this year, which is CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty. And we want to help our community overcome financial burnout and gain financial peace. Amen? You know, with biblical principles, right? The other thing that we're going to be doing is feeding and looking after those who are destitute and poor in our society. And Blake is heading that up, right, Blake? We're always talking about it, and he said, Pastor, what are we going to call this thing? And working out how we're going to reach people and all that stuff. And we've got a name for it now, which is pretty cool, right, Blake? He said to me, you know, he was so moved by the feeding of 4,000 and how they picked up leftovers. I said, well, that's the name of your ministry. He goes, what? Leftovers? That's the kind of thing he said. I said, no. They picked up 12 baskets. So we're doing a 12 baskets initiative, 12 baskets project. which is cool because you know what the 12 baskets represent? Nothing is wasted in God. God does not waste anything. It also represents that God gives you more than enough for the next place that He's taking you. Isn't that cool? And then Michelle is going to be heading up our program with supporting parents with challenging children and additional needs, right? And we're calling that STEPS program, which is support, teaching, and parents in their environment, parent strategies, yeah, something like that. Because we want to reach the needs of our community. And all of these things is going to be only successful when people of God become available. Blake's going to need volunteers. You know, if you have background in parenting and children and additional needs, we could use your help. We get so many things. At the end of this month, next Sunday, our Mission Sunday, we have an open day. The ministries of our church will have a table there. And if you want to volunteer, go ahead and volunteer and put your name down. Amen? We need more ushers. Trevor told me we need more ushers today. So what is it? You know, are we just so busy that we can't even serve God once a month? You know, and I know we got so many people serving. I'm not demeaning the service of those that are working hard already. But your church life really takes on a new meaning when you give of yourself. It really does. It really does. You could become a pastor one day. I was just the guy that was rolling the cables with the sound guys. That's what I did for years, and I cleaned the church van, and I was the guy that was moving people in their houses and cleaning people's homes. That's what I did. I was the go-to guy that did everything. That's all I did. And that's just as joyful as leading a church. I didn't need the pastor to set up a ministry for me. I didn't need the pastor to recognize my gifts because I had hands. Because when God spoke to Moses, the first thing that Moses says, I don't have the gifts. But God says, what have you got in your hands? We always go to God with our giftings, but God says, what's in your hand? What can you do with your hands? That's what God talks about. That's what availability is about, what's in your hands, what's in front of you. Not what you don't have, not what you think you should have, not what the other person has more of. Come on, somebody. Availability is your empty hands before God. It's your fish and your loaves that your mom sent you to go to hear Jesus with for your lunch. Miracles happen when people become available. When that boy gave his lunch to the disciples, we saw one of the most amazing miracles in the gospel. Jesus fed the 4,000 because somebody was available. Come on, somebody. He didn't lose his lunch after all. And that's the problem we have. We are afraid of losing, so we don't become available. Jesus was walking by the seaside of Galilee, and he sees two boats standing by the lake and the fishermen mending their nets. In verse 3 of chapter 5, go from verse 2. Then he saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing or mending their nets. In verse 3, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered, he said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless, at your word, or because you said it, another translation said, because you said it, I will do it. You know what true availability is? True availability does not argue with sovereignty. Do you realize that? Let me give you five things that Simon did that made him, that transitioned him from being a fisherman into becoming a fisher of men. You see, whatever you're doing in your life right now, as important as that might be, and as wonderful as that might be, I want you to know that God has something greater. Oh, come on, you didn't like that? Whatever you're doing, God has something greater, of greater significance, of greater purpose, no matter what it is. Never ever get to a place in your life where you think you've hit the pinnacle and you've arrived. There's always something greater. It is endless. It is unlimited. We serve an unlimited God. There's always something greater that God has for you. Now here's the process of availability for Simon Peter. How Jesus took him from a fisherman into a fisher of men and became the pillar of the church as we know it. The first thing he did was that he welcomed church in his vessel. His boat was available. The Bible says that Jesus got into one of the boats that happened to be Simon Peter. No arguments. You can have my boat. Amen. Jesus, you can have my life. Jesus, you can come into my life and we can be friends. I'll go to church, no problem. Jesus, you can come in, and this is a pretty good deal being a Christian because it seems easy. Jesus just asked for the boat. I'm not using it anyway. Go for it. And for a lot of people, their Christian walk with God is a little bit like that. It's a relationship of convenience. God is not making any demands. Your life is already going anywhere the way you want it, so might as well connect with God, right? Well, that's the first step. The second thing that took place was that when Jesus got into the boat, he said to Simon Peter, put out a little into the water. So Peter got into the water while Jesus was dry in his boat, and he pushed the boat out of the water, probably got to about waist deep of water, so Jesus could speak and began to teach the Word of God. I would imagine Peter stayed there while Jesus was teaching because Jesus had this incredible conversation with Peter not long after he was teaching. The third thing that happened is that Peter allowed himself to be immersed in the Word of God. While Jesus was teaching and Peter was there and he was there with Jesus, perhaps holding the boat to keep it stable, while Jesus was teaching, he was being immersed in what Jesus was saying. And you know what happens when you are in the Word of God? Faith rises. Something happens on the inside of you that you're even unaware of. And then at this point, Jesus does not speak to him until after Jesus started teaching. And he said to Peter, now launch into the deep for a great catch. Peter did not complain, and yet in his willingness to accept the instructions Jesus gave him, he was not unaware of how unreasonable the request was. The hardest thing that you'll ever say yes to God to is when he asks of something of you that you know you're incapable of doing. Are you with me? I want you to really just pause on that. Because most people want to do things that they're capable of. I know my giftings. I'm good at this. And so I know that God's going to call me according to my gifting. But God calls you not according to your gifts, but according to your availability. You know why a lot of people never get to fully realize the calling of God in their lives? Because they're only available according to the way they want God to use them. Not according to having a servant heart. Jesus, who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, laid aside his majesty, became the ones he created, lowered himself with no title. And on top of that, he suffered at the hands of his creation. And he said these words, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. He said to Jesus, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. He was not unaware of how unreasonable and impractical Jesus was. Jesus was not an expert in fishing. He was a carpenter. It did not make sense. But I love what Peter said. But nevertheless, because you said it. Do you realize that your greatest calling is not arguing with God what is reasonable and unreasonable? It's about saying yes because you recognize who He is. When you recognize who Jesus really is, saying yes to Him becomes easy. You'll be aware of the limitations. You'll be aware of the pitfalls. You'll be aware that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You'll be aware that anyone who puts his hand to the plow cannot look back. You'll be aware that you got to let the dead bury the dead. But because He said it, nevertheless, because He said it, we will do it. Amen? What's this message about? I want you in 27 to hear God even more closely in your life. Nothing's going to be more rewarding for you this year. Not your achievements in your career or in your marriage relationship. Nothing will trump the reality that when you can say yes to Jesus, because it's called you to do something that you could never ever achieve in your own strength or your own ability. And as a church, God is calling us to do the same thing. As we unfold vision for us to be able to get facility for our children and our youth and our community, it's going to take all of us to be like Peter. Lord, we've been toiling. God, we don't have enough money, but because You said it, we're going to do it. Amen. Amen. Be willing to say yes to God. And would you bow your heads for a few moments? Father, we just thank You. And we bless You for Your goodness and Your mercy. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Impart faith into our hearts. How many of you this morning you say, Pastor, I don't know what I can commit, but this year, I want to be available. Just put your hand up. If that's you. I want to be available. Whatever God says, I just want to be able to say yes to God. You know, this is a pretty scary thing because you don't even know what you're going to say yes to. Right? I'm going to be like Peter and say, nevertheless, I'm going to say yes. How many of you this morning say yes? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You. Lord, I just pray that You would take us further, Lord God, further than we've ever been, into Your purpose and into Your call in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.